The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome all of you back to the program. We are 30 minutes away from talking to Oregon head coach Mario Cristobal, coming off the biggest win of his career, and even before he's able to celebrate, his name is linked to the Southern Cal job. I'm sure that's one topic he would rather not talk about tonight. We will welcome in now Mike Griffin, who is always welcome to talk about any. Are you linked to any big-time jobs, Griff, or it seems like are we going to be talking to you for many years covering the Dogs?
Back under contract at AJC Dog Nation, Paul. Thank you.
Yeah, I read about that recently in somewhere that you just re-upped. I know you can't discuss the terms, but congratulations.
Yeah, I guess the sitcom's going to have to wait a few more years.
now you're hitting close to home, Mike. let's talk to let's talk about this game this weekend. I don't know. You probably are too busy to listen to this program, but South Carolina fans have taken something away from 2 years ago, and they think they can come in there and do it again. I don't know many people that agree with that. So lay it all out for us. First of all, what's the quarterback situation on the Dog side?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. You know, and Kirby's kind of tricky. You know, last week, you know, everybody asked him, he said, well, if Carson Beck was number two, he said, yeah, he's number two. What he didn't tell us was that Stetson Bennett was number one. So, you know, Kirby words, Kirby games, a lot's going to just depend on the shape of JT Daniels. I mean, JT's the guy, even though Stetson Bennett was really remarkable, tied a school record with 5 touchdowns in the first half. I mean, they really could have scored 100 points if they wanted to on UAB last week. It was quite the route. UAB's coaching, it's Conference USA level coaching for all the kind words. They were out schemed terribly. There were 3 plays, pass plays, that netted over 210 yards. I mean, that shouldn't have. I mean, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me 3 times. Ah, heck, just forget it. It didn't matter. But if JT is healthy enough to be throwing the ball all the way downfield and they feel like that strained oblique can't get re-injured, they go with him. But I just don't know if you take any sort of chance putting JT Daniels, because the one thing that South Carolina can do well is get after it with that defensive line. That's the one thing they can do well. And one of the weaknesses for Georgia still remains the offensive line, still somewhat suspect, even with all those 4 and 5 stars and Matt Luke out there coaching them up. They weren't really able to knock people off the ball in the UAB game, you know, like you would have expected from a Georgia team. Against Clemson, we saw them kind of struggle the first 3 quarters. So I think if you're Kirby Smart, why not be careful with JT Daniels? Look, the SEC, it's a long season, Paul. You got to get – it's like Talladega down there in Alabama, right? You got to make it to the final lap to win the race. So why take any chances with your quarterback if he's not 100%? And you've got a very capable backup and a guy like Stetson Bennett, who was 10 of 12 for 288 yards and 5 touchdowns, and a young guy in Carson Beck that you want to get some work to. So I think the game may dictate a little bit, but also how does JT practice? And that's something we don't know.
So you're essentially saying Georgia doesn't need JT Daniel to beat South Carolina.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I you could pick any other quarterback in the SEC and put it behind center, and they'd be look, this Georgia. You got to score to win, and this Georgia defense, Paul. I mean, they really are remarkable. The front 7 is, I mean, these guys are unbelievable. I haven't seen a defensive front like this in a long, long time. Now they're suspect at the corners, and it's way too early to make projections about what'll happen when they play Alabama in the SEC championship game. Different positions have to grow and mature. But this defensive front is so dominant. It's such a mismatch against the South Carolina offensive line. That South Carolina, they really don't have any kind of hope.
Okay. At least they can get mad at a few more people. Matt Berry was here earlier, said something similar. Now you've said it, and they can quit coming after me. Let me talk about just what you're sensing from this Georgia team overall, because I was surprised by last week. I agree with you. I mean, I didn't see much of the game because there's only so much of a route you can consume as someone trying to watch a bunch of games. But Do you feel how much better do you feel, or do you feel really good about this team? Have you felt really good about this team all along?
Yeah, the same. I mean, it's the same. I mean, probably a little better now. You see how well Stetson Bennett performs as a backup. You saw how much air he got under the ball. You know, one of the problems with Stetson Bennett last year, Paul, was he couldn't throw the ball deep effectively. And, you know, he's gone to school. He's been working out with JT Daniels. He sees the way to the deep balls to put some air under it, give those and he was incredibly successful. So, you know, to me, one of the questions is, you know, who's your number two, right? We've seen Alabama pull that card a few times against Georgia. And do you have a good enough and a capable enough backup if something were to happen? And, you know, again, the SEC is brutal. We're not talking about the ACC, you know, you don't play anybody, or the Big Ten and, you know, the Pac. You know, we're not talking a Big 12. We're not talking about those leagues. We're talking about a league where week in and week out, you've got NFL players coming out. All you got to do is look at the draft numbers. All these teams have NFL prospects. They can hit you. They can knock you down. They can hurt you. It's a battle every single week, and it's largely a war of attrition, right? It's hard to predict what's going to happen in December because we don't know who's going to survive the season for these teams. I mean, my goodness, look at all the injuries Georgia had last year. By the time they played Florida, they were missing four defensive starters. And then they get their quarterback knocked out with a 14-0 lead over Florida. And you know, Florida's, you know, suddenly all this revisionist history has come up this week. Like, they just were clear and above the best team last year. I'm going, wait a minute. Does everybody not remember what happened last year? Everybody got amnesia. Everybody talked about, like, Florida, like they were just head and shoulders better. Come on, you know. That'll be an interesting game down there in the swamp as well.
Yeah, I want to get to that because a lot of confidence from the Gators. Yeah, we hear it. You know, the swamp, all the things that really don't matter very much in terms of matchups. But how would you assess this game Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'm kind of one of those guys that says I got to see it to believe it. And Dan Mullen is 0-10 against Alabama. So now there's some people out there that are talking about what a remarkable job he's done turning the program around. And you know, of course, Coach Mullen told everyone they're coming off a great season, that 8-4 campaign. We talked about that from SEC Media Days, that 8-4 now qualifies as a great season for Florida. So maybe they'll have a great performance and stay within three touchdowns. But, you know, they lost a really – everybody wants to talk about Mullen and quarterbacks and all that. Nobody wants to give any attention to the defense. Florida lost their middle linebacker last week. And I mean, that's a key cog. I saw that happen to Georgia when they lost their Mike linebacker. When you lose that Mike linebacker, he's the quarterback of the deep, that's a big deal. I mean, that is a real, you know, gut punch for Florida's chances to lose their leading tackler from a year ago, their Mike linebacker. And look, we already know what's going to happen at quarterback, right? We know that he starts Emory Jones, the two-interception-a-game guy. He struggles. Alabama builds a big lead. And then they bring the backup in, and he does great, and everybody leaves there going, oh, yeah, they're going to be fine. Anthony Richardson's going to, you know, take them to the title or whatever. So that's the script. Alabama probably wins by, I don't know, 17 points. I will say this. I do think the Swamp is an incredible venue. That's why it's so sad that Florida plays their biggest game of the year every other year in an NFL stadium. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, you've got this incredible home environment in the Swamp. And I've covered the SEC so many years, Paul, and some of my greatest memories of games that I saw and just drama were at the Swamp. I mean, those fans, when they're rocking, it is the most raucous place in the SEC when the Swamp is lit. You know, but they've only had three sellouts under Dan Mullen in 4 years. That's not good. This will be a sellout.
Hey,
this
Griff,
is a really
hold,
big
Griff,
game.
Hold on one second. I have to stop you there because I'm about to jump on a bird and head down to Gainesville and see Dan Mullen and see all my friends in Gatorland. I just want to make sure people understand what you're talking about. And we all know what Dan's accomplished, but I just hear something from you that you're not like others in your trade who use the phrase genius attached to him. You're not laying a lot of platitudes. I mean, what is your beef with Dan Mullen?
I don't know that I have a beef. Well,
Griff, don't play semantics with me. You obviously had a problem with Dan Mullen. I've heard it throughout this entire interview, and I just want to get to the bottom of it so I'm comfortable when I'm sitting in Gainesville tomorrow on the campus of the University of Florida.
Yeah. Well, I think he's lowered the bar. I think when you say 8-4 is a great season, that's an insult to the great Steve Spurrier. You know, this is 31 games against the SEC East that Alabama has won in a row, dating back to when Steve Spurrier beat Nick Saban, when Spurrier was at South Carolina. You know, Steve Spurrier was 3-1. That's a great coach. That's a Hall of Fame coach. Steve Spurrier made the Gators the most feared team in the SEC the latter part of the 1990s. It's just an incredible coach. And to put Mullen on that level, I just have a hard time accepting that. And I think a lot of people are, like I said, the revisionist history. I mean, this is not the Florida. This is not your uncle's Florida team. This is the 8-4 dress up in a Halloween costume after a game. I mean, this is a clown show. So it's been disappointing because when Florida's good, it's good for the league. When you've got a Gator team that's got teeth, you know, and these guys, they have an opportunity Saturday. Brenton Cox has said that Alabama's got to be ready. And, you know, for him to call out Alabama, that's a confident Gators team. So they'll have the opportunity to back it up in their backyard.
But is the concern that you have more on Mullen trying to repaint the canvas of last year? Is it the media calling him the quarterback whisperer? There's something underneath all this, because I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but you pretty much just called it a clown show.
Listen, I've got a lot of respect for the SEC, Paul. We've been doing this a long time, and there's no reason why the Florida Gators shouldn't be head and shoulders above the rest of this. And look, you got Florida State struggling, losing to, you know, FCS, Jacksonville State. You know, you got Miami, and they're nowhere near what they used to be. You know, who's really – is UCF? Is that what – there's no reason why right now Florida shouldn't be head and shoulders above all the other teams in the Sunshine State. It just doesn't make any sense to me when I look at the momentum that Steve Spurrier built, the way he put that program on the map, the championships that he brought, and Urban Meyer went there. He did it his way. He had success. National titles, a guy like Tim Tebow to sell the program. I mean, how hard is this? This is a tremendous academic institution, one of the best in the country. I mean, how do you not win big at Florida? It just puzzles me. So when someone wins 8 games and goes 8-4 and everybody's talking about how great that is, I just look at it and say, look, you know, don't tell me it's raining when you do something else on me. I mean, this is ridiculous. 8-4 is not a great season by Florida football standards. I'm not buying it, Paul.
Okay, we'll leave it there. That's fair. I just wanted to make sure we got to the very bottom of the heap here. So when I'm accosted tomorrow in Gatorland about this interview, I have some ammunition to fight back with.
Well, Scott Strickland knows because, you know, he was at Mississippi State and, you know, they didn't beat Alabama when he was there either. So, you know, he's the Florida AD. He gives out raises and they're comfortable with Dan Mullen. And you know what? Maybe Florida's going to run the table and prove me wrong. But right now, that doesn't even look like the most dangerous team left on Georgia's schedule. I'd say Arkansas or at Auburn will probably be closer margins than the Florida game.
Ooh, the money quote at the end by Mike Griffith. Thank you very much, Mike. We will see you next week.
Appreciate it.
Man. You'd have to say Griff showed up ready for the interview today. Wow. That's a lot to digest there. We have plenty of time to get your reaction to that. Mario Cristobal, bottom of the hour. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and don't forget Mario Cristobal coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's check in with Jim, who is in Florida. Hello, Jim.
Good evening, Paul.
Hey there. Good to hear from you. Jim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here now, yes.
Okay, good. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm the USC position. I know who's going to get it if he wants it, and it's not Les Miles. You know who it is?
No.
James Franklin. Put your money on him.
Well, I wish I could, because he would be my choice.
He won at Vanderbilt. Don't forget that. As far as the remember the coaches when they used to get criticized because they used to jump teams, they would recruit the kids and run away?
Oh, sure.
Well, they can't say that anymore. They can't say that anymore because these kids are running away at the drop of a hat.
No,
it's all about the money.
You're right. So you're right. It's so different than it used to be.
It doesn't mean anything more. As far as Georgia, South Carolina, I think Georgia's going to beat South Carolina and go to Jacksonville and beat the Jaguars for a warm-up with Florida.
I think Georgia could beat the Jaguars right now.
I upset. And remember, I told you I was an ex-NYPD lieutenant?
Right, I do remember that.
That was yesterday. But I have something interesting, funny to tell you. Well, you know, you said you had a friend from that's a detective, and you went up there and hung out with, right?
Right, yeah. Former, I think he was a Manhattan detective.
Yeah, okay. So you asked me, where I worked, and I said Manhattan. Then you asked me something interesting, which you know, I don't know if you were trying to expose me, maybe it wasn't a cop. You asked me what house you're from. That's a real cop word. Not many people use it. They usually say police. I think you were trying to out me on national TV.
No, I knew you were real. Propensity to get in the mode of whatever type of field I'm talking to. So I guess I went into cop mode.
You did with that house. That was a good one. As far as your last interview, that was a good interview. I think you're ready for 60 minutes. You're grilling that Mike Wallace, style.
In my Jim, in my newspaper career, I didn't cover a lot of. Of the quote unquote cop shop, but I did a little bit, so I wasn't sure. It must have just come into my head from a zillion years ago.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. Yeah, for some reason we lost Jim, the New York lieutenant, but we'll get Jim back. Sorry about that, Jim. I don't know what happened to your connection. Bill is in Pennsylvania. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I caught a little bit of your interview yesterday with Jay Paterno, and it was very enjoyable.
Thank you.
A lot of the things that he brought up, and even you brought up, you guys were right on. But what I wanted to call about was obviously the game in State College this weekend. And I'm kind of up for the Auburn players and staff because I really don't think that they'll have another opportunity to play in this type of an atmosphere. I've been to quite a few whiteout games, and they're epic. The noise level, I mean, it's, I think, The Who had the Guinness Book of World Records winning the decibel. Yeah, I mean, it's that loud.
No, I've heard that. And, it's one of those things that I've been to games there. I've never been to a whiteout. It's on my all-time bucket list.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think you're going to the wrong game this weekend. And the reason why I'm speaking about this game in particular, obviously after, you know, the pandemic and everything, fans being allowed back in the stadium, and obviously this is a marquee matchup, I think, for both teams. And I think, you know, regardless of the outcome, I think
Well, Bill, let me say this because we have to go to a break. Okay, we have a guest waiting, but I will get to one of those. I can't change. I mean, tomorrow I go where I'm told. But I am going to get there, and probably maybe for one of those Ohio State games. Hey, thank you so much. We're up against a break. Mario Cristobal, the head coach at Oregon, is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back, and the biggest win of the year in college football occurred last weekend. The University of Oregon went into Columbus and scored a extraordinary victory. The head coach of the Oregon Ducks joining us now, Mario Cristobal. Coach, thank you very, very much. Congratulations. I know there's another game this week, and there's games every week, and you don't want to dwell on the past, but I do have to, after saying hello to you, ask you how it feels to have done that and what it means to your program.
No, Paul, I appreciate you having me on the show, man. It's good to be on here. No, for our guys, a tremendous accomplishment of going on the road and doing it there against that team, elite players, elite coaching staff. And, you know, the process and the practice preparation became game reality, and they got after it, got it done. And then, you know how it works with the processes that we roll with, got back to Eugene and got right back at it again and getting ready for Stony Brook this Saturday.
I know this may be a silly question, but knowing what you did not have available for the game, arguably the best wide receiver in the country and another outstanding defensive player, what is this team capable of when you finally get all the pieces on the field?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was a real shame that the country couldn't get to see some of our guys play. We really were looking forward to having all those guys in the field at the same time. You know, Justin Flo and Kayvon Thibodeau, and a couple other guys went down. Mace was banged up. At one point, we were down 5 starters on defense, and they still found a way. Did a real good job against the run, gave up a few big ones in the passing game, but tightened up when we had to. And just overall, you know, it's those recruiting classes are starting to take shape on the field, and we're still a couple of classes away from where we really want to be, but you could see all the development starting to take place, guys playing at a high level, competing at a high level, and being able to accomplish this against now some of the better teams in the country. So, but they got to see some of the other guys, which was great. Guys that stepped up, elevated their play, and those around them elevated it as well and got it done. So, we have a chance to be a really good football team. We have miles to go, but it starts in the trenches, and the improvement there has been massive. We just got to keep it going.
Coach, that's a rather scary thought. You just beat a team that played for the national championship. You beat a team that is ranked in the top 3 in their stadium, not on a neutral site or not at home. And I'm not quibbling with your comments. I believe in what you just got through saying, but if your program has that far to go, that's a scary thought for the rest of college football.
Well, you know, about 75% of our team is made up of underclassmen, and our best recruiting classes are on their way in. A lot of credit has to go to Anthony Brown, who came to us from Boston College. I think you'll really enjoy watching him play throughout the course of the year. Just tremendous poise, knowledge, accuracy, toughness. You know, this is not a little guy, Paul. This is a 230-plus pounder that can chuck it and run with it and get downhill when he needs to, as well as, you know, get outside the pocket, sit in the pocket, and launch it down the field with accuracy. So we're very blessed to have him. C.J. Verdell, you know, is back this year and obviously had a huge game on Saturday. So a lot of the pieces are in place. But, again, just got to get healthy. Got to get healthy in some of these different positions and got to keep developing these young guys because they are going to play a lot this year.
I am not a recruiting expert. I happen to look at one of those recruiting rankings that my network puts out, and obviously Oregon is way, way up there at or near the top. And I'm sure, Coach, a game like this only enhances that position. It's common sense. You've alluded to it. But there are certain breakthrough games. You've been in Rose Bowls. You've had championships. You played on the biggest stages you can. But you go into a place like that, which is sacrosanct. What is a trickle-down effect?
Well, I mean, I don't know. We just work, Paul. You know, we just get after it and roll. And I think what happens is that, between the University of Oregon, the administration, Phil Knight, they've just built an incredible place for student-athletes, for athletic and academic development, enhancement, life after football and other sports. And the investment just continues to grow. The people that they have in place here are insane, and it's a beautiful place. So, like, football is a really big deal over here, you know, in Eugene. And it just feels like we're just getting started. Like, it's just the beginning of the whole thing. So the excitement's high. Everyone's got their, you know, they're just grinding their nose down, head down, eyes looking forward, and just pressing on because we feel that we have ourselves a real special situation, a special place.
Talking to Mario Cristobal for another couple of moments about his program, the win, and looking ahead. And we will turn the page now, finally. But I am curious, though, Coach, because you have to be grounded in a process of winning week to week. How do you turn that page, though? Because everyone wants to go back and talk about what happened Saturday, not what's happening this Saturday in the many, many Saturdays ahead, especially in the Pac-12.
Well, I think one of the best things about Saturday is that my high school coach, who ironically I played at Columbus High School in Miami, our offensive line coach, Alex Murball, and I, well, our high school coach, who's the best I've ever been around. He's the reason that we coach, ultimate mentor. I mean, he looks like Sensei Kreese from Cobra Kai. I mean, this guy's a hard, like, tough dude. And he was at the game, and he's just a constant reminder of how we're an extension of him. You know, the way that we grind, the demands, the principles and values of this place, of our organization, the regimen, the structure. We're just a very tight-knit, very physical, very real operation. And I think that all those things are continuing to pay off. So the way we practice and the way we get after and continue to generate competition really helps with guys looking at their social media too much or focusing on that. We've been bit by that before over the past couple of years. We think that we've learned our lessons some, but we're on it. We stay on it 24/7 knowing that it's impossible to quell completely. But we have a funny way of bringing ourselves back down to earth when practice time rolls around.
Finally, on games like this, because you know, this game was supposed to be in Eugene last year. Of course, we didn't get that. These are games that all of us college football fans, you know, salivate over, and you want to see more. And I know we're promised more games like this. But how does a game like this aid you? Number one, just in something to point to in the off season, and then the after effect of it. Because you've had games like this before, and they haven't always worked out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's I think everyone wanted to see what the product was going to be like, right? We've been at it now, you know, in a couple of years over here in Oregon. And, you know, certainly Oregon's been awesome for a long, long time. Certainly been great before we got here. And, you know, upon arrival, we really wanted to establish certain standards for play at the line of scrimmage, on the perimeter. And it's all coming together. So to finally go out there on that, on a big stage like that, in front of all those, you know, viewers, and put it on display, I think it certainly earns a new level of respect. I think people see that we're not just talking a talk. We're truly validating our hard work, and we're validating our processes through accomplishment. And I think, you know, top players want to be a part of programs like that, and they have a real big reason to come to Oregon.
Well, Coach, congratulations. And as you well know, with success comes a lot of attention, and you certainly have had that this week. We wish you well, and thank you so much for making time for us.
I appreciate you having me, man. Take care of yourself.
Look forward to seeing you soon. Mario Cristobal joining us from Oregon after his incredible win over Ohio State. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Greg is up next as we continue from California. Hello, Greg.
Paul, how you doing? I enjoy your show.
Watch
it every day. Thank you very much for that. Just a quick comment. James Franklin, he's an empty suit as far as a head coach goes. The only reason why he got to the Rose Bowl and played USC is because Ohio State played in the national championship that year. They didn't even win the Big Ten. To go into even further than that, he lost to Clay Helton. So anybody in the entire country who says James Franklin should be the next USC head coach is an absolute fool. The guy hasn't won there, and as far as I'm concerned, you want a winner. Now, USC in the past has won with four coaches: Howard Jones, John McKay, John Robinson, and Pete Carroll. Until you get a real man who is a leader of men, USC will never win ever again. There's two people they need to hire. One is Urban Meyer. They bring in Urban Meyer, they win. If he doesn't take the job, they got to go to Bob Stoops. If Bob Stoops takes the job, they will win. If they don't get Bob Stoops, I'm sorry, it's slim pickings.
Well, let me offer this, and you know, you're certainly welcome to your opinions. Urban Meyer is not going. There's no way he can. You don't make an investment in the NFL and walk out after 1 year. And I don't even think the president wants him. I mean, I'm interested in Bob Stoops, and I have great respect for what Stoops did at Oklahoma. But I thought I saw some signs at the end of his career that were troubling, and I am not sure Bob Stoops would still have it.
Well, in regards to Stoops, it was probably a great thing for him to step away and re-energize. But going back to Urban Meyer, I'm telling the entire nation, just wait, because the president of USC, Carol Folt, answers to Rick Caruso, who is the board of trustees chairman.
Now, Greg, I agree with you on that, but you still have to pry Urban Meyer out of Jacksonville. And as bad as this season is going to go, that is just not in Urban Meyer's DNA to walk away from something after 1 year. Usually he waits 3 or 4 years.
I agree with you with that entire situation. It's a cluster. But behind the scenes, I will tell you this. Rick Caruso, the chairman of the board of USC of trustees, made a comment. And he made a comment saying, we are going to hire a world-class head coach and win.
So, now, well, not many of those out there. And by the way, I would have gone after Urban last year. I agree with that premise, but I thought they let that get away from them. They should have tried harder to get him, and not. But I have no doubt you're right that SC can be returned to glory, but I don't see that. I'm not sure I see somebody of Urban's mag. I don't think Bob Stoops is in Urban Meyer's league. But I do agree with you on Urban Meyer. He could win anywhere in college. I don't think he's going to be particularly successful in the NFL. Hey, thank you for the call. Larry is up next in from Alabama. Hello, Larry.
What's going on, Feinbaum?
What's up with you, Larry?
I'm one lucky man, Jack.
What happened to you?
My heart rate went up to 300 a minute, and my fibrillator went off four times and saved my life, man.
Your heart rate went up to 300?
Yeah, almost 300 a minute.
Oh, my goodness. So where were you when this happened?
Right here at my house. It was hot, and I was out there working. I got in a little altercation with my neighbor. Can you imagine that?
Larry, hold on one second. You got a serious heart condition. We all know that. You're not well.
Yeah.
I'm just telling the truth. What kind of how did this altercation occur?
Just over some stuff I bought from them, and they didn't want to give it to me, and I got mad, and we got into it, and he went to pushing and hollering.
Whatever this was about, you're the two of you are like facing each other?
Yeah, and I slammed the gate and hit him in the ass, and he turned around and pushed me, and then when he did, my fibrillator went off. And it's equal to getting hit in the chest with a sledgehammer.
Before I get to the what was this argument about?
It was some damn my fault. I shouldn't have got into it, Paul. I don't know. I'm a walking time bomb. I feel bad because it's my fault. It was over some stuff I bought, and he said you already got. No, I didn't. You know, one of those arguments.
Okay, so Larry, he's in your yard, right?
We're in the middle of the road.
And then he leaves, and then you slam the gate.
And as I hit him in the ass, you know, when he's trying to get away from me.
Are we talking about, like, hitting him hard in?
Yeah, as hard as I could sling the gate. It pissed him off, you know.
Okay, so then what does he do, Larry?
He turns around and he pushes me. He didn't hit me, but he pushed me. So, and that's when that fibrillator went off.
So this guy, had you died? This guy could have been liable for involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't.
Larry, I got bad news for you. You would have been dead. It wouldn't have been matter whether you wanted to press charges
yeah,
or not.
I'd have been one dead ass.
We're about to pronounce this guy dead. I don't want to press charges against the guy.
That thing went off four times.
Okay, so
my
Larry,
God, thank
Larry,
you.
Not to be Johnny Reporter here. So do you go down here?
I went down, man. It knocked me down to my knees.
So you go down to your knees, and does he realize
he
that you're...
He scared him. It scared him. So he didn't know what to think.
So what did he do?
He says, man, you all right? And I'm having a heart attack. I needed my heart. And bam, it went off again.
How was your life saved?
That fibrillator, it makes, when it goes off, it kicks your heart back in.
Okay.
And it went off four times, and it saved my life. My doctor saved my damn life. I would not be talking to you.
So what
if
happened?
Did
they take you in?
No, I went to the hospital, but ambulance come and got me. Yeah,
okay.
I went to the hospital. Man, I thought I was dying because that thing, it hurts. Anybody out there tell you about a fibrillator, son?
I've seen it. So did your neighbor apologize for nearly killing
you?
Well,
yeah, we hugged after I got back to the hospital. And, you know, I told him, I'm sorry, man. It's really my fault. But
Larry,
I'm just
Larry,
thankful
hold on.
To God.
You don't need to be apologizing. This guy almost killed you.
I felt so good to be alive.
I mean, this guy came within a second of killing Larry from Shelby over getting hit in the ass, your words, not mine, by a gate.
Yeah, I know, but he probably would have got some kind of medal, you know, from Auburn guys.
I would come down there
like
and
killed
Larry. I would have come down there and killed this guy if he had killed you.
Oh man, good. Hell, thank you, Paul. At least I could be in heaven knowing that.
Well, I probably would have. Larry Legend and I would have killed this guy. We'll be right back.